to All Consumed, a podcast with me, Chris Osborne, and my co-host,
Neil Davey,
about things we've recently consumed and found pleasurable, enjoyable,
very recent,
bringing happiness to us. We just consumed some ice cream.
We did.
Neil, where are we?
We are on Ganton Street.
Okay.
Just off Carnaby
just
Street.
Off Carnaby Street, Soho.
So, a place at Parlor by Ice Cream Union.
Very nice.
Really nice, actually. It was really good.
Yeah.
They, Natura were selling their stuff through lockdown. So, we came across Ice Cream Union in 2020. They improved our life at home while we were locked in 6 years ago, remember that?
Yeah.
Seems quite like, surreal now.
It's another time for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, one of the joys was the discovery of Ice Cream Union. And yeah, they've opened a couple of parlours most recently. This has only been open a week or so, I believe.
Yeah.
Tucked away Ganton Street, as I say, just off Carnaby.
I think they've got another parlour, somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Like around Battersea, maybe?
Could be. Could well be.
Or Chelsea? One or both of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a look. It's on Google.
Yeah. What flavors did you get?
I went Fior de Latte, which is always my... If I see somewhere doing Fior de Latte, it is just... Absolutely just probably my favorite ice cream. So simple. So pure. Much like me. He says, not even believing it when I say it. We both did the... Hojicha.
Hojicha. It was really good and very refreshing. I could have had a lot of that, actually.
Yeah, and I did the chocolate chip dulce de leche, which was fantastic.
I did a chocolate chip coconut.
The coconut.
Yeah, that was pretty good, too.
Vanilla bean.
And the vanilla was fantastic. And that's kind of, I guess that's kind of like the margarita pizza ice cream.
Yes, it's a good benchmark.
Yeah, but, you know, I was kind of thrown off because when you suggested coming here, I sort of researched their website and they had a list of amazing flavors. I was like, I'm going to get this. It was on the tip of my tongue when I got here.
And
then something different, which was great. But yeah, that I especially liked the hojicha.
Yeah.
And I really...
Yeah, it's a kind of a roasted tea thing, isn't it?
It's a roasted green tea. It's kind of like... Kind of similar to matcha. It's not quite as caffeinated or strong a flavor. I brew it at home sometimes. It's nice.
Really
but it makes a great ice cream. And what else I have? The vanilla, the vanilla bean. That was proper. In fact, when I was getting little bits of that, my other flavors, like, that's just the vanilla making it taste so amazing.
Yeah, very good. Good value. Three ice creams in the cup.
This is like a permanent thing.
Yes. No, it's good to see him surviving.
All right,
and thriving. So yeah.
Now, part of the reason we're here and having another episode, recording relatively soon after the other, because we didn't get to all the stuff we want to talk about. In fact,
we were
some really big for you and some pretty big stuff for me too. So you went on a cruise.
I did.
You want to talk about it, Neil? Tell me about your cruise.
Yeah, it was a work thing, or work in inverted commas, as so many of my friends refer to what I do. Got sent off to Amsterdam to pick up a boat, Viking Cruises, huge company, been running since 1997. They've now got something like 100 plus boats around the world across however many continents, doing things on something like 21 rivers. They do things on the Mekong, they do stuff on the Mississippi, they're everywhere. Very, very big with American pensioners, being a cruise company, obviously. Lots of jokes about how, you're going to reduce the average age on boat. Well, no, I'm not. I'm 58. I'm not going to reduce the average age by much at all. Wouldn't necessarily be my first choice of things to have done, but
you did it.
I did it, and it's great. They're beautifully organized. I was on the Rhine cruise, so started in Amsterdam. And across 7-8 days, sail through, went to a place called Kinderdijk, a very beautiful bit of the Netherlands, with basically lots and lots of windmills, just to appeal to everyone, Gouda Farm and that kind of thing. So it went very, very Dutch. And then, through Cologne, place called Speyer.
So you're going along the Rhine River.
Yeah. Had some time in Strasbourg, and then finishing about a week later in Basel, which I know is one of your
favorite cities. One of them. What do you think about Basel?
Well, quite happily. Well, annoyingly, first thing in the morning, woke up to a message from British Airways that my flight home was cancelled, which isn't ideal. However, the people at Viking sort of stepped in, sorted out alternative flights from Zurich later that evening, which meant I got a few hours to go and explore Basel, and I can absolutely see why you like it as much as you do.
Huh?
Really,
it's
really
cool.
Beautiful.
Nice size.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, again, there's a certain element with these things where it's a coach trip. You're kind of running through, you're ticking off. It's the Ice Spy Book of Europe. So it's not necessarily deep dives into anywhere that you go. But in many cases, Cologne in particular, we got a good few hours
there. It's another great city, man. It's beautiful.
Really beautiful city. Great beer scene.
Home of Cologne.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
There are the perfume. There's two or three little perfume shops. Indeed. The founders, the creators of Cologne. The beer houses were phenomenal. Kolsch. The famous German beer style can only be brewed within a 50 kilometer radius of the cathedral in Cologne.
Which is pretty spectacular.
There's 17 breweries, so therefore 17 different types of Kolsch. They're served in 0.2 liter glasses, so they can never go warm. And much like if you've ever been to Prague, you've been to the beer halls
never
and stuff
Prague.
There. They will keep serving you beer until you put a beer mat on top of your glass. And then someone will appear, a waiter will appear with a tray full of exactly the same beers, put a fresh one down, take your old glass away, add a little tally to your beer mat, and then you settle up at the end of the day. It's a great system. 0.2 litres is a really lovely measure of beer. Not too daunting, so it stays cold to the bottom of the glass. Very much enjoyed that.
I like a Kolsch, especially on like a hot day. It's a good
Good, crisp, clean, just very, very tasty. And then lots of really interesting experience. Strasbourg was an incredibly pretty city. Did a little food tour there. Did a cookery class. We kind of assembled a Black Forest gâteau in the Black Forest. So that's kind of nice and very on brand. Yeah, and these things are really, really well organized. There's like 190 people on board. Food was excellent. The room was excellent. There is something about, I like a trip where you get to stay in the same hotel room. But I also like a trip where you get to explore new cities. So it's amazing that it's taken me so long to realize that.
Nice cabin?
Very simple, but nicely appointed. And even down to little touches, like there was a washing line across the shower cubicle. So if you want to, there is a very good laundry service on board. But if you want to, if you need to clean some socks and pants, you can. And you can just hang them up quite discreetly and neatly in your bathroom. Yeah, really, it's just very, very well thought out. And when you start to, it's so well run, it's very easy to overlook just how efficient they have to be. With like 190 people, I think there's 8 boats at any one time on the Rhine. We would occasionally moor next to boats that were doing the reverse trip to Basel to Amsterdam leg.
Combine
forces and go and be on tours with people from the other boats.
All right. Yeah.
And then you rise.
They seem a little cuckoo.
No. They're all. Most of them were. I mean, there were the occasional moments. I have very fond memories of a woman on a day of 30 plus degrees in Cologne asking our guide, if I buy chocolate, will it melt? Yes. Yes, it will. And I don't know what she was expecting the guy to go. No, I shall pass
That's
a decree.
Magic German chocolate.
I shall pass a decree, by which point, yes, chocolate carried around in 30 plus degree temperature will stay exactly as it should be. There's a certain element, I guess, on any trip. You get a certain element of people to suddenly become quite helpless. But the precision with which they have to be able to get people back to different boats and by certain times and maintain the schedules, the level of organization is incredible. But from the punter perspective, it is absolutely effortless. You just turn up and do things, and the place back and in your cabin, and you're fed beautifully and entertained, and the staff are fantastic. It's pricey. Wouldn't necessarily rush to do it again. Very glad I've done it, and can very much see the appeal. And yeah, ticked off a few cities, but I would very much like to go back to Cologne properly. I'd like to do some of the museums and the galleries and stuff. I know you've mentioned in the past, just outside of Basel. Museum as well.
It's technically in Germany, but just outside the Basel.
Would like to do that. Basel, yeah. And would also quite like to jump in the river and do the little float across, because that looked quite a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's something people do there. They got these special little floaties. So you put like your shoes and all your stuff you want to keep dry, and then you float down the river holding it. Yeah. Oh, hey, well, add it to the list, Neil.
Looks a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. What about you, mate? What have you been up to?
Well, I haven't gone on a cruise, but one of my next big trips that me and my partner want to do, it is high on our list, just other things keep coming up, but within the next couple of years, I'm probably going to go back to Egypt. Excuse me. And I think on this podcast, I've mentioned how phenomenal Cairo and Giza were and that area. I want to go back and see... you know, the stuff down, like the Valley of the Gods, all that stuff. That would be the Upper Nile. So maybe in preparation for that, something I did last night at the British Museum, they had a members only drawing activity in the Egyptian room. And if you know the British Museum, that huge room is always packed. You know, it's really hard to get up close and personal with these things. There were maybe 20 people on this course last night. I had a little fold-up chair, opened it up, sat down right next to this one huge statue, one of Sekhmet. If you're not sure which one that is, a female body and a lion's face or head. And I'm just sketching away. So it started, the instructor's name, I've got it on here, Adrian... Adrian Dutton was the instructor. You know, he guided us through some basic things about Egyptian art and sculpture, sort of compared it to Henry Moore. We did a little practice in like a little classroom setting. We did a little practice Henry Moore sketching thing. Then we went up into the Egyptian room. Everybody sort of found what they wanted to do. Had well over an hour, just me sitting there and doing whatever one I could have moved if I wanted, but I just kept working on this. Pretty happy with the results, and also it was a small group. Adrian came and sat down next to everybody and gave them, really generous with his time, gave me some pointers. You could see I'd already taken some drawing classes, like I mentioned on here and before, and just sort of added to that. Said, we'll try this, maybe turn your seat a little, all these things. Worked with me on one quick sketch. It was great. It was really, really fun. I know they do these every once in a while, and I'm definitely going to be on the lookout for another one, because I just really, really loved it.
No, that's great. I mean, I know we both talked about the British Museum in the past. Just how good they are at these little kind of special events and kind of getting up close and personal. I've done a couple of curators tours, kick off at 9 a.m. And you get shown around by the person who put together, shown around the exhibit, by the person who put the exhibit together.
And they're like a PhD in whatever.
Phenomenal stuff. To be that close or have that access to that knowledge is remarkable. It's also...
And if you intend to go to two exhibitions, like special exhibitions there in a year, the membership's
kind of covered, But it's also, I must also say, every time you talk about drawing and just how energized and enthused you look, so it's clearly something you're absolutely loving. Which is really nice to see.
What I was drawing, probably talk more about something special I'm doing in my drawing classes on a future episode, but was working on a particular drawing my last class at Sunny Art Center, which is where I'm taking my classes. I just had so much fun, man. Like, it was fun. Up until now, it's been kind of hard, and like, I'm learning, it's valuable, but I'm glad. It was that sort of like, you don't want it to end, but you're glad it's done. this last session I had, I just was having fun drawing something that I thought was beyond what I was capable of, but I seem to be doing a good job. I can see how I can make it better. It's fun, man. It's really fun. And I'm also...
You're in the zone.
Yeah, I'm in the zone. I'm in my flow. I'm also not looking at, you know, social media or a website or anything like that for at least a couple of hours, not staring at a screen.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, sometimes the exercise is on an iPad, but I'm looking at an image, a static image on an iPad, so that's okay. But you know what I mean, right?
Well, I know what you mean. No, it's, I mean, anything that just kind of takes you a little bit out of the comfort zone, challenges you in certain ways. I think that's very good for the soul. I think that's good for mental health. Anything that, yeah, makes you take a break from all the drama in the world that's going on via your phone or handheld device.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, like, just that same line of thought, just sitting there staring at this one statue, you know, thousands of years old, with these rocks that are made out of rock that's like millions of years old. What were these people thinking? I've got this instructor sitting there talking to me how, like, they think there was, like, they were, like, he put this, this sounds like the sort of thing you would use to describe something. So, the ancient Egyptian empire, whatever it was, that time span, it's about 3,000 years. So, if we put ourselves today, contemporary times, in that same sort of time frame, that would have mean we started with King David. So that tells you how long this time span was. And so the particular piece I was working on was, I think it's called the New Dynasty. I don't know, like, not really old, not really near the end either, but for Egyptians. Adrian's like, well, you know, because they became so good with these skilled, we had this sort of like artisan approach, but also like an assembly line. They think it's sort of like when the merchants in, say, the Netherlands, and even to some extent here in England, started amassing almost as much power as aristocracy and landed gentry and everything, and that might have caused a revolution and a real change in society there. So just all this while I'm just trying to draw this cat head, you know, and make it, you know, in line with the boobies and everything. It was really fun, man. Yeah,
that's cool. Not really done cruising before. I did do a Nile cruise for another press thing several years ago, which was fascinating. When we were on the position where we were taking the boat kind of the other way into Cairo, so they could pick up their first sort of round of kind of paying passengers.
Okay.
So there were a group of journalists, we went off and did that. It was just after the Arab Spring. A lot of the temples were really quiet. In some places, we were the only people there. It was absolutely fascinating. Had a great guy, very, very knowledgeable. But the thing that always struck me and has stuck with me ever since, like you said, just the sheer length of time of this era, this dynasty, this whatever. Remarkable. I also like the fact in an awful lot of the temples that were then vandalized.
Yeah.
And initially you go, vandalized. And then you discover, well, the Vandals were the Greeks and the Romans.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And you're like, okay, all right, great.
Graffiti
has historical value.
Where is this ancient Egyptian sculpture that I drew last night? Oh, yeah, the British Museum. And it was just one room over from the...
Those famous marbles, yes, indeed. No, we should talk about that another time.
Speaking of cultural appropriation, something yummy recently, right?
Yeah.
Something, I've been there too, but I'm going to let you pronounce it.
Yeah, down in Victoria, it's picking up a lot of acclaim.
Yeah.
So there's a new burger place called Hanbaga Sutiki.
Sutiki
is an awful lot of vowels.
Yeah.
So it's basically kind of Asian influenced burgers. Good smash burgers. Quality of the beef's really good.
Absolutely.
And then mad combinations of, I was tipped off happily before I went, not to order certain things or not to order those together, because there's a lot of kimchi, there's a lot of very similar flavors. You can have, I imagine, quite a one or two note meal. So I kind of meandered through things. Also, like the fact there was a point, got chatting to the couple opposite me while we were eating, and members of staff were coming around with two or three other sort of burgers and things they made, and just giving them to random people.
All right.
So you can try something different, which is really, really nice touch.
Yeah.
And I've seemed to have read about that a few times. Where
you had the
been
Thai
often,
Oklahoma.
I did the Thai Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Bugger.
Yeah, that's what I had.
B-A-G-A.
Yeah.
I know,
peanuts,
it's just, I may sound appallingly racist, but it is a bugger. Yeah, so yeah, yeah, peanuts good. And yeah. Kind of slaw and Thai things. I'd like to, they do just a really simple smash burger.
Yeah.
Which I would go back and try, because I think there is a sense of...
The base was good. In fact,
the base was good.
I almost wanted to like slide
everything else, yeah.
Thai slaw and peanut stuff and everything.
Yeah, I'd rather have that as a side order and just have a...
Yeah, exactly. But it was a really good burger.
Yeah, the quality of the meat's really good. It's a really nice kind of aged beef.
I'd go back there. Now, you also... speaking of sort of...
are we recording in public?
Neil, what did I tell you? I did not do that. By the way, in case you didn't know, we are outside recording al fresco. Sometimes sunny. It's a little overcast and sunny, then overcast and sunny. Soho, outside Ice Cream Union.
Yeah.
But you also had another sort of mashup, American meat and Asian stuff.
Yeah, the
stuff,
Hans,
right?
Hans Barbecue. Same over the old Silo
Hans Barbecue.
Site in Hackney.
High on my list, but I haven't been. Yep.
We've tried
their
brisket.
Stuff.
We've had their meat before because they were supplying Donnie's where we recorded a previous episode. I'm told by Hon himself that Donnie's is now gone.
That's a shame. It was a shame.
So that was a really good sandwich. But yeah, he's for the last 2 weeks they crowdfunded. They've taken over the old Silo space. Beautiful setup, really lovely room. Very close to Hackney Wick station.
Oh, they're in the old Silo space.
Yeah.
As in, there's no Silo anymore.
No Silo. Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Good for them. But those are my favorite places in town.
Yeah. But yes, yeah, so, but it's a good room. It's a really good room. Lots of natural light and stuff. Really nicely laid out. So they've now got a massive smoker on the sort of the ground floor downstairs is the ground floor. As you come in, massive smoker, but really good. Yeah, so it's kind of Chinese Texan barbecue. You're like very, very good beef short rib, phenomenal pork belly. There's a smoked duck pancake. The meat was good. The pancakes need some work. Really good tomato and watermelon salad. Unapologetic spicing on a lot of these things. Really quite punchy. Sensible, short, good value wine list. Really nice bottle of Verdicchio for like £35. Did a bottle of Cremant as well for, I think that was £45, which ain't bad by London standards. Very, very good meal, and they've only been there a couple of weeks. I feel there's going to be a lot of tweaks and improvements. But already, yeah, absolutely rammed on a Sunday. Yeah, good. And yeah, I mean, as I say, sad to see Silo go. However, it had to go. It's gone to a very good home.
Because it used to be like Uncle Hans used to have like a residency somewhere else.
They were kind of opposite.
Just on the other side of
the pretty much there's like an industrial estate opposite. There's all my friends is there.
Right there. In fact, that might
great setup as well. So really,
I love it around there.
Yeah.
But while you were in Hackney Wick having Texas Chinese barbecue, I was in Hackney Downs having amazing Indonesian chicken noodle stuff. What's it called? It is called my ayam, and please forgive me if I'm pronouncing that wrong, but it's basically just a chicken noodle dish. It was delicious. Just seasoning was just right. It was so savory, very slurpable noodles. The chicken was awesome. I think it was all just chicken thigh, but I could be wrong about that. It was really yummy. Also, it's just a little pop-up concession kind of thing right across the street from Hackney Downs Station. Check their Instagram or their website for hours, but man, I'm going back there. It was so good. I think I was the only person that wasn't Indonesian like on the queue there, although I think there was like a a boyfriend of an Indonesian woman who wasn't from there, mm-hmm. but he was just as enthusiastic as anybody else. So great food. Also, just well, so what do you have to drink? I got this really nice kind of milky jasmine tea, cold tea, which just it's really sweet, but it was delicious and it was just so refreshing. It just I'm going back, man. It was so good. Boomy, if I didn't say it, did I say it? Boomy. And Hackney Downs. I think they're there for a while.
Okay.
There's no hard end, but that was great.
Okay. Well, I'm well, no, we'll definitely fill that one up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, come with me, man. Yeah, it was really good.
Very much my cup.
Also, another place that's really worth checking out, Bora and Sons. I've been meaning to mention them a few times. I think their original shop is in East Dulwich, but they have a shop in Walthamstow on Orford Road, the like Walthamstow Village area. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's just a really expensive food shop, but it's a really nice selection of foods. It's always you can get that like one special item to like enhance or spruce up a meal.
Just elevates
sort of
everything.
Yeah,
you
elevates
do. Yeah,
everything.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But what's interesting is they have this big outdoor display of fruit and veg, and it's very tomato heavy. And every time I go past it, which is pretty often, there's someone outside photographing the tomatoes. And it's great because they're also really good tomatoes and a good variety of tomatoes from all over Europe, all different colors of tomatoes. Wow. They do these really great French green tomatoes that are amazing. They are so mild and delicious. And I just like going there, pick up a few things. I've taken photographs of the tomato display myself. Yeah.
I assume there'll be one attached to this this podcast.
Possibly. There could be. There could be. And then, I don't know, you got anything else? I got a couple more things.
I'm kind of done. I was glad to get the cruise off my chest.
That's a good one. Well, I just recently watched this film that I caught on, forget where I heard about it. But I saw it, I found it on YouTube. It's only about 20 minutes or so. Very easy to find on YouTube. It's called Heavy Metal Parking Lot. And that's what it is. It's from the mid-80s, I guess. And it's kids hanging out in a parking lot of some big music venue, sports arena for different types of events. And they're waiting and somewhere in the Washington, D.C. area, and they are waiting for the Judas Priest concert to begin, and they are getting trashed and having a blast. And big deal. But what makes this so endearing is there's somebody with a VHS camera recording everybody, and just I hesitate to say innocence, but there's something naive about it. Like, really, people see a camera and get excited, you know, whereas now everybody's filming everything all the time, putting it online, everything streaming. This was a novelty in the mid-80s. And like, wow, somebody brought a camera to the parking lot. Hey, let's show them how drunk we are. That sort of thing. And pretty much that accent, too. And it's there's a little bit of cringe, a little bit of sweetness, a lot of like, oh man, I'm glad I was a teenager in the 80s because it was fun. I feel sorry for anybody born
documenting getting shit faced, documenting doing silly stuff was the exception, not the norm.
It has that kind of attitude, like, no, people just don't know about this. This is where we let loose and everything. And it's cool. And, people are just, having fun, excited.
Much like you with the drawing, being in the moment, actually being present.
And, credit to the filmmaker. I think he was just maybe a slightly older person doing it. Really catching people, letting them speak. What's kind of sad, at least the version I saw, was it then did this, and that was about 20 minutes, and then it did, and 10 years later, and there was a Neil Diamond concert, and they talked to people waiting for that, and that was kind of humorous, and then they did sometime a little later, like this monster truck rally, and now he's just kind of mocking people, appeal.
Yeah.
There he was just the innocent bystander.
The innocence, I think,
the camera's just letting people do whatever, and it was really, really sweet and endearing and real. So watch the rest if you want, but that bit, that heavy metal parking lot is amazing. It's also amazing is nature, Neil. And my girlfriend has created like a bird sanctuary in her back garden. It's really nice with feeders and everything. And we see a lot of parakeets. We've seen some woodpeckers. It's amazing. Lots of little birds, lots of blue tits. Mm-hmm. It's so cool. It's so nice just to sit outside, watch them, even just be in the kitchen, preparing a meal, or even doing the dishes and just seeing that.
Well, also, London has become a little pocket of really interesting stuff. We're back onto a school. So we need to replace our, we had a window feeder at one point. And that was great because we would get greenfinches and goldfinches and blue tits and great tits, nuthatches, woodpeckers, all kinds of stuff. Just can't because it was so quiet. The loads of trees right behind us. I think the quality of bird life or the quality of the air post COVID has also helped lot of bird life come back as well. But you had a particular visitor there.
Yeah, so I was out there. I was doing the dishes. I'm at the sink, and just it's activity of birds all around. I'm not even really thinking about it, and then just everything went boom, and they all disappeared, dead silent. I was like, what the hell? I look out there, and there is this sparrowhawk on the ground. And like looking around, and there was not a bird to be seen, and it just appeared like that, man. And this thing, it's like a pigeon on steroids and stilts, and just so like muscly and just fierce, but small. I mean, that's the sparrow part, but the hawk part is
they kind of hold themselves like a cartoon bodybuilder. There is that element.
Puffed out chest, everything, and just looking around like, I need something to eat. And also, when I think about how it just appeared, it did not like fly from above. It like zoomed in from relatively low. I don't know, man. So it was cool. It's just, that was nice to see. And it reminded me of this other time. So I live in kind of a little cul-de-sac, and my partner and I were leaving, and she was driving. And just as we were getting out on the cul-de-sac onto the next sort of street, we both happened to be looking in this direction, and like, I mean, this took like 2 seconds. Peregrine falcon flew down, grabbed a pigeon, ripped its head off, and disappeared. And if we had been for those 2 seconds staring in any other direction, neither one of us would have seen it. And I'm so glad we were both looking at it at the same time, because I don't think she would have believed me. And I don't know, I'd be like, yeah, right, if she had said it. And I went back, we were going out that morning, and I got back later in the day. There wasn't a feather. There wasn't a drop of blood. There was nothing, man. It was just efficient and quick, man. It was incredible. I was just like, not central London, but London. And bam.
Yeah, I think there's still peregrines nesting at the Tate. They encourage them. Yeah, no, peregrines are amazing, amazing creatures. But it's, No, it's good. No, the occasion washing up our kitchen sink overlooks the back of the school and see some amazing things just kind of lurking there. Everything from sort of goldcrest. There's a pair of red kites we see occasionally. The herd tawny owls, still haven't seen them.
Oh, wow, you've seen owls?
So I haven't seen them. I've heard them.
Okay.
So through the summer, we get the
what
whole...
What do they sound like?
It is the proper... ones. They are the Tuwitu ones, the tawny owls. They are amazing. They sound like they've been mic'd up, but you can't quite work out where they are. But yeah, there's certainly some in the trees behind us, but still not seen them. I think the world, nature finds a way.
Yes.
Which is good. Yeah. It's always good. So anyway, I guess.
Good ice cream, good birds.
Yeah.
And then good spruces, good stuff.
Quite a hopeful. Quite a hopeful tone for once. What is that tone? Yes, that would be The Year Was Strange. Bubbling along underneath us. I don't know about The Year Was Strange. It's certainly gone fast.
Yeah, we're looking down the barrel at August now, aren't we? It's terrifying. Like days away.
Absolutely terrifying.
Might be August before we get this out.
Yeah, we'll try this week. fairly clear. We will turn this around, and get this up and running. Where can people track you down?
Oh, Chris? Yeah. Not a lot going on my website. Don't worry about that. I might actually put something on my own personal Instagram pretty soon. And that is at Chris Osborne. I think it's just all one word, O-S-B-U-R-N.
Sounds about right.
But I haven't in a very long time. And then just on Instagram, you can follow All Consumed Pod and you can go allconsumedpod.com yep. for our website. Find us on Apple Podcasts as well. How about you?
Yeah, again, Instagram mostly. Well, I'm totally. That's at DineHard. Where you can, which is effectively my food diary, with the occasional smattering of other stuff. There will be, I haven't put any photos up from the Rhine cruise yet, but I will start to do that over the next few days, okay. So those will go up. But yeah, that's pretty much it from me.
That's a lot. Thanks, man.
Cheers, Wing. Always a pleasure.
See you later.